Let's get down to business. It's you two for one. No more getting slaughtered like we feels with the sounds. You were a spineless, pale, pathetic lot, and you didn't have a clue. Now it's up to coaching. Never gonna catch my breath, sick of that poor Mad Nagy. He was good at first, but then we didn't win. This guy's seat's gonna be good, hope he doesn't let us down now. Now I really wish that I went to the gym.
Oh baby, it is mid-June-ish. The boys are back here at Zero Doinks as our beloved Chicago Bears are going through some voluntary OTA action with new head coach Matt Eberflus. Breaking rules, taking names. Oh my God, this new regime is so hot. We are going to talk all about it and much, much more here on Zip Dogs. We love you.
Hello, Becky.
Boing, 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 boing.
Zero Doinks. Zero Doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Zero doinks.
Oh, Zed Doinks! How are you, Dan? You just took a delicious, it looked like a Hams. I think it was, they're kind of like underground IPA line, right?
Ham specifically, you're saying this is a ham branded.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we'll go with it. It's Daisy Cutter, which I think Hams does make. Thank you, Hams, for sending me an entire case of this. Yeah. Hey, buddy, how are you? Sorry, I was a little late. I had to take a shit.
Oh, you know what? That's fantastic news. Congratulations. Glad you're regular. It is so good to see you. This has been a very random season of Zero Doink so far. I think you would agree. I think our lovely, loyal listeners would agree. I think the last time anyone actually heard from us was on Kyle's podcast. Shit, the name escapes me. God damn it. I want to plug it. I'm going to look it up right now.
Bear,
but I think that's the last time we talked.
Bear Down something? Bear? Oh, shit. It was a lot of fun. We may have offended one of Brad Big's friends, which I felt bad about, and then I don't think I do anymore. Yeah, do you have it?
I do. Full Press Bears. Full Press Bears. Furious George 94. Follow him. He is a hilarious guy. He's also an English teacher. He's smarter than Dan and I combined.
Bingo.
Find the episode where I think it was like called Schedule Palooza or something. We all predicted games based off of where our names landed on like a Wheel of Fortune thing. It was quite fun. I enjoyed that.
It was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was very random. I loved every second of it. Definitely go listen to it. I would do it again if you made me.
And I will make you, even if we're not invited. It'll be so great. We got a lot to get into tonight, and it's going to be hot. It's going to be so hot. It's the off season. It's almost mid-June. Let's get rolling, buddy. How do you feel about that, huh? You ready? You look
I'm
ready.
I'm fucking ready. I'm fucking ready. I've been ready all day. Let's do it. Red, red, hot, 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 hot. I just had lasagna.
Zat Dykes, don't eat the lasagna if you're at Garfield's house. Arbuckle.
It's about the lasagna.
You're the pride and joy of Illinois, Chicago Bears, Bear Down.
F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Boing, 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 boing.
Ooh, Zero Doinks, we are back. We are sponsored by Hams. We're sponsored by Anchor. We love both of them. I would drink Anchor if I could, but I don't think you're supposed to do that, right, Dan?
No, don't. Don't put your mouth around an anchor in general. ever be a time you would have your lips around an acre? I don't think so.
I think...
It feels like a mafia saying, like when they kill a guy.
Ooh, he put his lips on the anchor. He put his lips on the anchor, if you know what I mean. A wink, wink in Italian.
I think that's what they do.
Ooh. Hey, did you know that Salvatore just put his lips around an anchor last night? Wink, wink, pasta primavera.
Oh, did you hear this story about Joey Fat Toes? He's now sucking on an anchor. Wink, wink, spaghetti.
I'm 0% Italian, in case the audience wanted to know. I think you might have a little of that in your blood.
I look Italian. I don't think there's any in my blood. I don't think I have any Italian blood. I did, though, recently have a work lunch in an Italian restaurant with somebody I just met for the first time, and they assumed, I believe, for the first 15 minutes of the meal that I was Italian. Mm. So that's a thing that people just assume.
I mean, you do vaguely look Italian. I can understand the confusion. Also, I know the audience doesn't know your real last name, but I'm just going to spill it right now. It's a spaghetti and meatballs! That's what it is.
Why would you say that? Spaghetti and meatballs? Is it?
I choked. I was thinking of dishes, and that was the first
with
thing. And I thought,
is it hyphen?
Yeah.
Is it hyphenated? Yeah. Is spaghetti my middle name? Let's not figure this out. This is going to get dumb real quick. So yes, Dan Spaghetti and Meatballs
Indeed.
Is my name. Feel free to Google it.
Google it. There's a lot of weird Google images of Dan out there. So if you enter those terms, beware. Don't be at work, or I don't care. If you get fired, it's not our fault.
You see my noodle penis. It's fine. Enjoy.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to need a very wide screen to see that, I think, right? Thank God the iPhones are getting bigger.
Is this a Bears podcast or is this a penis podcast?
I think we talk way more about penises than Bears.
So. Yeah, penises and semen in food.
Yeah, if we did, if there was like that word cloud that you see sometimes when you put things together, I don't know how you make one of those, but if somebody knows how, you can combine all of our apps. Let's see what the most used words are. Yeah, I don't think I want to know. Yeah, yeah.
Garfield has to be up there. John Wayne Gacy. Just and then Bears is got to be maybe not top five.
No, Rick Fieldsman's definitely top five. Talked about him a lot. Rest in peace, I think. Also,
I think so.
To Rick.
Yeah,
yeah. It's been a minute.
Sorry. Yep.
Yeah. Bears had no TA this week, I believe, which is why we're here. Coach Eberflus was a naughty boy, wasn't he? He was naughty, according to the
naughty.
NFL.
Naughty, Maddie. You were naughty.
Yeah, do you have the rundown? He apparently made them hit each other. It's a football team, and they were hitting each other too hard. I think that's about the gist of it. I'll be honest, I read one article about it about 15 minutes ago from Kevin Fishsticks on The Athletic. It sounded like not a big deal. It's still hard to figure out exactly what was happening. Like maybe guys were just a bit too intense and there was an NFLPA rep at the practice. Is that common? I don't even know what that means, but apparently they shut him down, but they didn't find the team or find Eberflus, so... I don't understand. I don't know what was so bad about it.
Well, that's interesting. I did not know most of those facts, so thank you for bringing the research to Zero Doinks. If this is your first time listening and you're looking for hot info, you've come to the right place for sure.
Hot info, trash takes. That's us.
That's us. Should be the new slogan. We definitely review a lot of film from last year.
Mm-hmm.
I did watch two Hard Knocks of Matt Eberflus when he was the defensive coordinator of the Colts, and Didn't learn much. that's about where we're at. That's originally I thought when that story came out that they were in pads and shouldn't have been in pads or whatever, but it sounds like that wasn't the problem. I think right, it was contact more than anything, right?
More too much contact. And you know, they were interviewing Cole Kmet because apparently he's best friends with everyone at The Athletic. Really, it's anyone that tight end spot. It was Cole Kmet and who's the other player rep? I'm blanking right now. But it basically, the gist of it was guys are going 100%. They're all going hard because a lot of them have to prove. They have a lot to prove to a new staff, and they also just have a shitload of rookies.
Ooh, staff.
And so they were just going 100%. Was that a silent? What do you even call that? Is that a? That's like motorboating, right?
Yeah.
You know it crushes me, and then I see you doing it silently. That just throws me completely off.
Yeah. I'm here for you at all times.
Just thinking about it.
So, just a little tickle, a little hint. Just a little. It's just me. I'm right here, Dan. I'm right here.
I heard
a little bit.
I don't know why. I just got a mental picture of like an NFLPA rep, like just standing behind Matt Eberflus, an entire OTA practice, just doing that same move. Every time there's a hit, just like just shakes him to the core. I don't like that. Shut it down. I don't like that. So I imagine that's how it went down. But I think the gist of it is they were hitting a bit too hard, but it's hard not to like that, I guess. Eberflus seems. I think. It sort of fits in what we expected of him. He's a bit intense, I would say, with his players and likes them probably hitting the shit out of each other probably more than they should. But, you know, that's great and all if you have talent and can win. When if there's a chance that you stink, that's going to get old real quick. So,
yeah,
I don't know what to think of it. I love Bears fans already coming to the conclusion that that was the best thing that ever happened to the team. One fucking illegal practice was better than like five OTA practices. You don't know. You're not there. Shut up.
Yeah, we don't know. It is funny. The Bears fans are an interesting bunch. I think it's when a guy like Weederer goes hard. Like, he didn't really go hard, but his first tweet, I think, was like, "That's a misstep for the Bears regime." Oh. I think everybody just latches onto that one word and just goes nuts. Bears fans hate Chicago. They hate the beat reporters, I think, generally, if they say anything negative.
I think so. Good call about Weeder. I forgot. He acted like he had the most breaking news of all time when they canceled that OTA practice. I want to say he even said breaking news. That OTAs have been canceled, but he wasn't sure why.
Yes.
Dan, no one cares. Like, I mean, I feel like that's going in his like top five greatest hits of Dan Weeder, along with sucking off Coach K. I think he was so proud of himself that he had that scoop that everyone found out like probably before. I feel like the Bears reported it before he did. I think it was a Bears tweet, like, "Practice is canceled today." And Dan Weeder's like, "Breaking news. They won't let the reporters in. We don't know what's happening. Breaking news. Practice canceled." It's like, all right, Dan. It's fucking OTAs. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. He and Biggs are the two that get very much rankled whenever practice, like, whenever the media's schedule gets changed. They love telling us about it. It's like, it's your job. We don't care.
Yeah, right.
I mean, were you on your way to Lake Forest and now you're bitter because you're stuck in traffic going home, right? I mean,
you nailed it.
What do you think Dan Weeder does on his off time? And I got to take Duke basketball out of the equation here. What do you think?
I feel like he's a big puzzle guy for some reason. Like, just puzzle, like, he wants to tell you about his like, he puts him in a frame. Like, he finishes a puzzle and puts them in a frame, and they're just all over. So he's like his His second bedroom looks like Matt Nagy's basement with all of the play cards on the walls. It's just puzzles, and it's like a lot of cat puzzles. He's a big cat guy for reasons unknown. He's just got cat hair on him all the time. He's talking to his cats. Is he married? I feel like, I don't know if he is or not. He's married to puzzles.
I could see that, yeah. And like 99-piece puzzles, too. Real easy. You can knock them out super fast.
Lego guy, too? Is that an easy one, like A to B? If you're a big puzzle guy, you're also a big Lego guy? Like, oh, I just did this Lego set of Big Ben. Look at my Big Ben Lego set. Don't touch it. Did my break. That took me 4 weeks to put together. It's Big Ben. Oh, good day, mate. Nope, that's not British.
It's close, you know. They both speak the Queen's tongue. I think you're Lincoln Logs. I could see him being a big Lincoln Logs. Like his mom just came into town and said, "Dan, you're not going to believe this. I just found your barrel of logs. Here you go." He opens it up. Oddly enough, there's a dead cat in there. That's unfortunate. That really is going to set him off as a big cat guy. But I could see that. Couldn't you? Real dusty, dusty wood cabin that he's putting together when the Bears beat isn't going so hot.
Yep.
And Brad Biggs is just fat. So yeah, that's kind of all he does eating. Is just be fat. Yeah,
eating is his hobby. Eating and taking pictures of people without their consent, I would say, is... And loose dogs. I wonder if that's gotten off the ground at all. So
it's possible. It's very possible. Anything? What? Okay. So I saw pictures. I should know this. I don't know if you know this. I didn't do much research on it. A great selfie of, I assume it was Cole Kmet, in a tux with teammates behind him. Ryan Poles looked like he was on the team. He looked very young and happy. Was this a Bears event? Was this like a, was there a car show? Do you happen to know what that was all about?
Yeah, I believe it was a Bears charity event at Soldier Field. They all looked like they were having a good time, I guess. It was people were overanalyzing Ryan Pohl's hand, I believe, on Cody Whitehair's shoulder, which is, they're co-worker. It's a workspace, right? Like,
yeah.
Is Ryan Pohl's just going to be a dick and like and do that probably? But, you know, they looked fancy. Justin Fields looked great. There was a great tweet that people were shitting on a guy for. He was very upset that Justin Fields was not wearing socks with his tux. And he was like something to the effect of like, we're all straying away from God with a look like this, or it was really dramatic. And people are like, don't be this guy. Just please don't be this guy. I mean, we're at the point in the off season where everyone's sensitive. Everyone has, everyone's an expert. Everyone's claiming to break down film. It's getting real old. And I feel like it's worse than ever this year, but I'm pretty sure I said that last year. It's the same shit. Especially with our organization, we're just floating in no man's land, and we're just hoping for the best. So we're all so optimistic, but it's over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about, you know, thinking we're going to go 13-4. That's fantastic. The schedule stinks. You know, at least the quarterback's currently on said schedule. We realize that, but we don't know anything about what this Bears team's going to look like on either side of the ball or special teams. I think people are assuming like this rookie punter knows how to punt. I was not a huge Pat O'Donnell guy. I got sick of him, but he was fine. But I think like I see people justify like, okay, tell me why the Bears are going to have a worse record than last year. I mean, I think you could easily make an argument that they're less talented, and it's okay to admit that. It's okay to admit that this is year one of tearing it down before you build it up. I think that's totally reasonable. I don't think Bears fans should be upset if the Bears stink this year. I think Bears fans should be upset if, like, Field stinks this year. I think that's the thing, right?
Bingo. You nailed it. It's okay to admit that if you were looking at the Bears critically, like not as a Bears fan, let's be honest, you would look at the roster and go, oof, there is not much there. It just is what it is, and the organization was signaling that they're in a rebuilding phase. I mean, they got rid of Khalil Mack for draft picks. That's not what a team who's competing for a division title is doing, and they're not. You know, they're not retaining Allen Robinson and making that work. They're like, just go on, buddy. And, you know, people now say Allen Robinson's the worst thing ever. Well, he's fucking signed with the champs, and he signed a decent contract. And the Rams seem to know what they're doing. So, you know, it's okay to admit that our wide receiver room is just a bunch of unknown dudes. And we're not saying they're horrible, but just to assume they're going to be fucking unbelievable is just silly. It's just silly. And so our offensive line is still very much in flux. It's just strange to me that Bears fans are so sensitive, and they're so sure of themselves. And you and I laugh about it off the air. We get a kick out of it, but I won't speak for you, but it gets under my skin at a certain point. Like when I see these Bears experts who are just fucking grasping at straws. For the sake of, I don't know if they're bored or if they're dumb. It's one of it's annoying. I'm close to taking a Twitter break because I can't look at it anymore and not get like annoyed.
Yeah, I think you can be loyal. You could be hopeful. Dan and I are both of those things. I don't think it's a great idea to make fun of Green Bay's wide receiver room when our wide receiver room looks like. Like you said, it's a bunch of unknowns. Yeah. Maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. I'm not going to pick a fight with Green Bay offensive decisions at all when you got Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball and they've been beating our ass for 20 fucking years. I'm not picking that fight. I did it once last year as a total joke with that gif of Mooney beating Savage. And I still have bruises on my Twitter body. I'm like, you know what? Why would I do that? Why would I do that? It's stupid. We have a lot of proving to do, Dan. And I think we've all gotten out, you know, I don't remember the expression, in front of our skis before.
Yeah, over our skis. Maybe?
Yeah, there it is. There it is. And I think that maybe that's why I'm way more cautious this time with, because I was way too optimistic with the Nagy-Mitch combination. And, you know, I hope that Getsy-Fields combination is a beautiful thing. It really could be. There's probably a better than 50% chance that it is. But, man, I'm in prove-it mode, baby. Prove it. Show me. I've been a sucker for 41 years of my life.
Yep, same. And that's all that matters is Fields figuring it out. That's literally all that matters. I mean, we're not winning the Super Bowl this year. And, yeah, the people who are like, tell me how we're worse. Like, I think we might be.
Yeah, we could. And maybe we won't be.
It is what it is.
But
maybe not. But I couldn't say that on Twitter and not have people. And then people come at you like, oh, you want them to lose. You want to see them fail. Like, no, that's not it at all. It's like I'm being a realist. I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying it is. I'm calling it what it is. They're in a rebuilding phase. They're trying to see what they have this year. They want to see improvement, but they're not in a let's win 17 fucking games mode because that roster is not a team that's probably competing for a fucking NFC title, NFC North division title. It's not. And the smartest fucking indicator as well is Vegas. You just saying Vegas has just not figured it out? They're just... We're slated to finish third in the division, right? So we were last year, too. Look where we finished. Fucking third in the division. So I don't know where all the optimism is coming from. It's fucking annoying. And there's too many of you out there, Bears Twitter people. Grow up.
Just don't be so certain. And that's probably very... it's probably very hypocritical because we're sounding very certain about being uncertain, but maybe it's because we're turning into old crotchety guys, but we're also not like, we're not over the top negative. Like, I mean, there is, you can see reasons that this team could have huge upside going into next offseason. And that's, and I think it goes to some of the same people that wanted and think the Bears are going to be excellent this year, the same people that would have wanted to pay Christian Kirk a bazillion dollars and, you right. know, like, be so aggressive in free agency. I love what Poles did, and it's actually probably the best thing that Larry O, by the way, is not coming to the Bears for a discount, guys. Can we relax? it's probably a really good thing in retrospect yeah. that we're going to have that cap space for next year.
Yeah, I think that was another Weederer, like, huge misstep by
yep.
the GM trying to sign Larry O when in the end they did their due diligence and cut
yeah.
and said, nope, can't do it, and
yeah.
backed their way. No way Ryan Pace would have done that. He would have absolutely signed him and been like, we'll figure it out. We got a training staff that'll fix him. And he's still on the open market, right? So he's very clearly
yes.
hurt. So why would we bring him back on a discount when he, like, literally nobody else has signed him? Why would he want to sign with us? We totally
no.
fucked him over. And good for Brian Poles for not immediately jumping to the next thing. Ryan Pace would have, like, done a total panic signing of a guard that would have just absolutely just put us in a pretzel immediately. So he's dealt with the shitty roster. He's doing the best he can, and it's boring as fuck, but I think it's necessary for the future, and it sucks because football is just a short window every season, and then you got to wait, and every game's important, but it sucks we're in this position that we have to talk about. We have to debate just at what level our roster, how shitty they might be. It sucks.
But this is actually way better. I'd rather be in this place right now than where we were last offseason, quite honestly. Wouldn't you? On some level, because
yeah,
I think we all
yeah.
kind of knew where, like, we were excited about Fields, but that just put us in denial about the shit coach that we had and the shit GM that we had, and everybody was just hoping we'd get lucky. And then they fucked it up by, you know, stunting Fields by putting Dalton
yeah.
ahead of him and all that shit, right? It would typical right. just garbage regime decisions that they made year after year. So as much as it sucks, you know, we still have Fields. There's still reason for optimism there. We don't have Pace guiding the ship into a fucking iceberg, and we don't have Nagy hunting all the whys. Give me the whys, baby. So we got Mr. Hits. That Bernstein went off again about the Hits principle today. He's obsessed with he thinks that Eberflus is Mark Trestman. He almost said it.
Mm. That's not good. The Hits thing is, I mean, it's a red flag. It's a red flag. But Bernstein, I mean, that guy, he could not be any more crabby right now. So take everything he says with a grain of salt. I mean, he hates literally everything. Absolutely
yes.
everything.
Including Illinois basketball. So go fuck yourself, Dan Bernstein, you Northwestern bitch.
You know. Did you happen to see Matt Nagy? He had a press conference with the Chiefs this week.
No, totally missed
it. I don't even really know the gist of it, what he was saying. I feel like he was sort of pumping up how great of a culture KC was and how he was happy to be with, like, Andy Reid and why am I blank on the OC who can't get hired as a head coach?
Rick Fieldsman's favorite, Eric Bieniemy.
Bieniemy. But, you know, I think Bears fans were, you know, they read into anything that he was taking shots at the Bears. But I just felt so, he just was up there rambling about nonsense bullshit. And I, like, gave me a gross feeling thinking about him and all of his dumb press conferences, just rambling on and on and on about shit. Calling out reporters by their first name, you know, thanks. Oh, Bill, great question. Shit like that. I was like, oh, so gross. Shut up, Nagy. So I don't need to see that guy ever again. And I hope they don't give him any more airtime that is in front of my face. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, hopefully that was a one-time thing. Pretty weird to have the quarterback coach have a press conference. Thank God they never did that with Dave Ragone here. Is he in Atlanta? I think he is, like Bears South.
I think so.
Pretty sure. Yeah.
I wouldn't know Dave Ragone if he walked into this room right now. Would you?
No, absolutely not. And I'm glad to say that. I don't miss that guy at all. Speaking of speaking ill toward your old team, Akeem Hicks had a press conference this week. What do you think? He basically said I was quite spoiled. Started my career with Brady and then Breeze, and then I went to Chicago, and obviously we didn't have a Brady or Breeze, and now I'm back with Brady in Tampa. A lot of Twitter hurt feelings I saw. Did you think he was out of line?
Hell no. Where's the lie in that? I mean, if you know who's offended? The people who think the Bears are legitimately going like 16. The people who are 16-1 this year. Oh, tell me how we're worse this year. Those are the people who are offended. Because they're such unrealistic bitches about where this team is at and what we've been. I don't give a shit. Like, he's not even on the team anymore. And two, he's fucking right. He's so right. And in terms of just Breeze and Brady and then anything we've ever rolled into town, it is night and day. So I wasn't offended. Did that hurt your feelings, Bill?
No. Jay Hood, even beyond like the Twitter hurt feelings, he didn't like it at all. And then he and the very shiny David Kaplan went through. They're like, okay, let's think about all the quarterbacks that have been with the Bears since Hicks was here.
Yeah,
I think that have at least started one game. I think there's like 11 guys.
Oh,
and he wasn't here that long. He was here like 5 or 6 years. And I think some people took it as a shot against Fields. Like, no, he had Chase Daniel and Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley started multiple games while he was here. It's like, yeah, he's right. He's an aging defensive lineman. Who really cares at this point? Kind of weird that he had a press conference also in some ways. Right? It's kind of, he's like,
he's a character.
But whatever. I mean,
he's a straight shooter. I love Akeem Hicks. I mean, he says, you know, he says how it is. And that was, and I didn't take that as a shot at Justin Fields. That was a shot at the Bears organization. And he was 100% right.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. I know. So stupid. Speaking of media guys who said things that might be painful, but not really because they're realistic. Tom Waddle, did he say something controversial or no? Did he not really do it? And we're all just picking Twitter wars with Tom Waddle. I don't think he said anything bad, right?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's.
That was kind of a thing.
I think he's, Bill, I think he's like-minded like us, that we just kind of don't know what's going on specific to the wide receiver room. And I don't think people like that. So.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's specific to Allen Robinson.
But, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I think Bears fans might need to relax a little bit. I think that's all there is to it.
I think like, so
take,
too.
Take three deep breaths and just relax, Bears fans. Three deep breaths.
Especially Tom Waddle. Tom Waddle is he's a good man. He's a very even keeled guy, and he loves the Bears more than any of us ever will.
Yeah. Right. He played and you didn't.
Yeah, I think it's legit in this case as opposed to Mike Golick slobbering all over his microphone not saying anything. I like Tom Waddle. He's a good guy. Leave Tom Waddle alone, Twitter.
Yeah. He didn't do anything to you.
Yeah, that's right. Elon Musk. I would say let's go back to that beautiful picture that I saw and then additional pictures that Chicago Bears social media put out there. Love that JF1 brought Pablo to said event. Pablo, Whoa, hubba hubba, what an outfit he had, huh?
Yeah, I think I said it on Twitter. He looked like a motherfucking snack out there. Pablo, yummy, slapping cheeks. No, Pablo's a handsome man. Not shocked he has been divorced at least once, because you know he can't keep his hands off the ladies. And it goes both ways. They can't keep their cheeks off his hands. Slapping them cheeks. Pablo.
Yeah. I apologize for that one. I don't even know how it sounded. It felt weird. That one was for Dan. Thank God we don't have a live video stream. I just want to take that. Reminds me. Let's take a moment to eulogize Squadcast. This is the last episode we will ever do with Squadcast. Squadcast is fantastic if you need somebody to yell at you that your internet blows, even though your internet's perfect when you look at your computer. We're not going to miss it. We're not going to miss Squadcast here.
They take way too many holidays. They feel the need to remind you that they're taking a holiday via email. Yeah, we're not going to miss it, I don't think. But who knows? We might be back. Who knows?
Who knows?
So let's not say too many mean things right now, maybe, Bill. But okay. I guess just for the short term, thanks for having a Squadcast, but also blow it out your ass.
Yes. Absolutely. I think I couldn't have said it better myself. We'll be going to StreamYard. That's where we're headed. Proud new sponsor, StreamYard. Thank you, Kyle, for introducing us to StreamYard during our very weird episode that we did a few weeks ago. Thank you so much, Kyle George, at FuriousGeorge94, I believe. That's off the top of my head. If that's wrong, hopefully that's also a Twitter handle that you can have a little bit of fun with.
I think so. What else we got, Bill? Other Bears news. Breaking Bears news. Did you see the Bears were at Wrigley today, taking batting practice, and Justin Fields hit an absolute bomb, and I had to change my pants because it was such a beautiful swing. He got all of it. He could play shortstop right now, definitely for the Cubs. I don't think he'd want to play for Tony La Russa at this point. Which I think we get to that later. Mm-hmm. But his swing was beautiful. He would be in the major leagues right now if he was playing baseball. That's all I can say.
This is how dumb I am. I was stunned that he was a righty. Like, for some reason, I had it in my head that he'd be a lefty hitter. I don't know why.
Huh.
I don't know why. Okay. Like, he'd have a real sweet, like, Ken Griffey Jr. type swing.
Oh,
it was still a sweet swing. Don't get me wrong.
If he had a Ken Griffey Jr. like swing, my heart couldn't take that. I'm glad he doesn't, because I would have died on the spot.
Yeah. That's impressive to knock one of those puppies out of there. Yeah, I saw it. I loved it. I saw you and Darren in Dublin had some fantastic gifts, I think, going back and forth, all along the same lines of Los Pantalones fall onto the floor. Yeah, I get it.
Our buddy, we just mentioned him, Furious George, at Furious George 94. That's off the top of Bill's head. He also was getting into the mix with those. So he had a Kool-Aid Man gift. Yeah, I was loving all of it. It was, I might not be able to sleep tonight.
Well, I know what you'll be doing between the sheets, with or without someone else. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. One of the ghosts in the house.
Oh,
baby.
Oh, shower time. You seen any lately? Not showers.
No.
Ghosts?
No. Okay. I definitely haven't seen a shower in a while. I smell horrible. No, it's been a little while. I don't know what's maybe they leave for summer vacation. I have no idea.
They probably do.
I'm sure they're in here somewhere. But they're cool. I have a squirrel issue, if I told you that.
No. What's going on?
We got squirrels in I'm sitting now, this is my office, and the up above me is like attic space that's right next door to where the master bedroom, you can't say it anymore. Main bedroom, what do you call it? Primary bedroom. I don't know, for you folks who work in real estate, you would know. The primary bed, there's a long attic space. And I've been sitting in my office, and I can hear just, it's like fucking WrestleMania above me every day, in the middle of the day. And finally got somebody, and I had multiple people come out, and they're like, yep, we don't take care of squirrels. You definitely have squirrels. And I go in there, and I don't know how the hell they get out, but you can definitely hear them. And come to find out, I finally have somebody who can take care of it. Come to find out, we have a full-blown, like, squirrel brothel in our home. They're coming in here to just fuck. They're just coming in here, squirrel babies. So I don't think we have babies in the house, but they come inside to do the squirrel. They get their squirrel nut on, and then they take off. So, and the guy telling me, like, knew way too much about how squirrels. But he's like, oh, the female's very aggressive. She's very aggressive. She'll like pin them down. She won't mate with someone who's a pussy. She won't mate with someone who's a pussy. So it's very strange. So I think we've taken care of it at this point. So we've had more squirrel issues than ghosts the past few months. So I think we're there.
Do you do squirrels use birth control of any sort? I might recommend that.
Are you recommending that I provide the birth control? Like,
yes.
This, like, I'm an RA in a dorm, and I, like, hey, I'm the cool guy. Like, you know, keep the music down, and here's free condoms. Like, I'm that guy.
Yeah. Because you don't want them to multiply.
I'd be open to it.
Yeah.
I believe there are too many squirrels just that exist.
Yeah.
So if there was a way to... you know, trim that number down. I'm all ears. I'm all squirrel ears. What does a squirrel do? Like, what's their purpose? You know, like the, we need bees for fucking honey and shit like that, which I could do without honey. I don't care. I fucking hate bees. They sting the shit out of me and I hate them. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of squirrels?
I guess to kind of suck and fuck a little bit, I think, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, but they're just pain in the ass. Like, they're just putting holes in my house to so they can be like, ooh, I gotta get in there, fuck, I gotta get in there, fuck.
Yeah.
And it's like, just do it outside. Nobody's watching. Nobody cares.
Has anybody gone up to the attic to see if, like, there's a bunch of, like, mini hot tubs or anything that maybe you can...
I've like, been in there,
maybe
yeah.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't. Now I'm picturing mini hot tubs, and yeah. I don't hate it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't hate the mental picture I'm getting.
With just little acorn, you know, condoms, I guess. that you're offering them.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate them. I'm with, like, full blown war with squirrels right now, and my father in law's like, you just get a gun, you just shoot them. Like, yeah, I live in the suburbs. Like, I will go to jail. I will straight up go to jail if I'm just out there, just pew pew. Well, it's fucking squirrels. Like, mm-hmm. So I think we've got it pretty much taken care of. I think at this point. So if you need a squirrel guy, I can help you.
Have they found their way to the ductwork yet?
Your guess is as good as mine, brother. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. You'd probably know. They'd be like slip sliding throughout your house at that point. Keep them up there with the mini hot tubs would be my, you know, that's my squirrel advice.
Thank you so much for your squirrel advice. I could have used that like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, to answer your ghost question, no, I haven't seen any ghosts in a while.
Okay. It's definitely good to hear. It's good to know. One of the biggest Bears fans we know is Rick Fieldsman. We all know him as a sharp, a shark, all that stuff. We haven't done Hams and Bread in a while. Hasn't been that much to gamble on. Rick, though, Rick has kept his mind occupied, I would have to say. In recent weeks, days, months, all the above, what's the favorite thing that you have seen Rick do online or offline? What would you say, Dan?
There's two very recent ones, and I don't want to steal yours if this is what you're. He had an all-time Hams beer video last night that we received. Just a few lucky winners. I've watched it multiple times. My daughters have watched it. It's a work of art. They also enjoy it. They don't understand it, but they love it. And Rick is also seems to be gathering information on barrel prices. Now, obviously, everyone wants to talk about gas prices. I'm not talking about oil barrels and what the cost is of that. I'm talking about like wooden barrels that are being sold by a brewery, a distillery, something. I don't know. Yeah. Rick found them and threw like the price out at us. I honestly don't know what the cost of a barrel is, like just an empty wooden barrel. I'm interested, but I don't know if I'm getting ripped off or not. So Rick's barrel and video making lately has been very erotic. You have anything else that's stuck out to you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's had a busy off season. It's been fantastic. I believe a couple Fridays ago, he sent Coach Cuse, you, and myself a lot of screenshots of Illinois license plate vanity options that he was putting together. Like, hey, get a load of this. This is available. You can only have five letters, I think. That's what I learned. That was, yeah. Right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So yep. Because I think he saw something that appealed to him on the streets of the suburbs of Chicago, right? Yeah.
Was it Doink? I think it was a Doink license plate. Yeah.
It might have been.
A Bears license. My favorite part of that was he sent us the first one, let's say at like 9 in the morning. And then the last one I received was roughly like 4:30 in the evening. So I have reason to believe that he spent like, Rick doesn't have a day job, but what I would believe to be an entire work day dedicated to finding different variations of license plates that say like dicks and cunts and farts and things like that, and just hammering through all of those. And I imagine that he's just, you know, like the people who just buy up like website names and in the hopes that someone will pay them a shitload of money for it. I picture Rick is trying to capitalize on the Bears personalized license plate market with every combination of just gross and disgusting things that is allowable. So that's what's going on in my mind. I don't know if you were going to the same place.
No, you're absolutely right. And I believe the proper term for the people that buy up website URL names are squatters, which is perfect. That's exactly what Rick is. Rick is an absolute squatter in every form of his life. So, yeah, I could see that. I bet he spent like $600 on vanity license plates for Bears fans. All of them completely disgusting, but passable somehow through the state of Illinois. So congratulations, Rick.
I feel like he's going to go to jail. There's got to be some like illegal car registration things he's got cooking as well. So he may be doing his hams and bread segments from prison, and the quality I'm sure will be very low. So get ready for that for season 3, 4. What are we on?
We're on 4.
Sweet.
It's been a hell of a ride. A hell of a ride. Thank you, Anchor, for making it possible. But it would truly not be possible without our loyal listeners throughout the United States and 32 countries. Now, that's fantastic. Can you believe still that 12% of our listeners are female?
No.
That's amazing. I love that.
I do, too. We love our lady listeners. Ooh. Hubba hubba. Boing, 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 boing. Ah.
Should we kick it to dipshits and dipsticks and then reconvene in the outro? Okay. All right.
Yep. Yep. Let's do it.
Oh, warning. Vroom, vroom. Auto sports.
Dipshits. Dipsticks.
Max Verstappen.
Dip shits and dipsticks.
Lewis Hamilton.
Dip shits and dipsticks.
Ferrari.
Rick Fieldsman and Grease Tank.
Red Bull, Red Bull.
Dip shits and dipsticks. Sir Dykes.
Auto Sports.
Dipsticks and Dipshits is back with your favorite idiot grease tank, filling your tank with racing talk. Well, Memorial Day weekend came and went, and I'm still vibrating like a truck on gravel road. I started watching racing at 8 a.m. and finished at midnight. A lot of magic happened in these last 2 weeks, and even more happening this weekend. At this point, how are you not a racing fan? Let's start with F1. Monaco was wet and wild Memorial Day weekend. The race was delayed and shortened due to rain, but a wet and wild F1 race means chaotic results. Sergio Perez, better known as Checo, took advantage of a costly pit error by Charles Leclerc, securing his third F1 victory. Checo was plus 1,200 to win, and I deeply, deeply regret not throwing a couple hams on it. Unfortunately, the Haas boys both retired early, finishing 19th and 20th. Our boy Magnussi retired due to mechanical failure, and Schumacher had a nasty crash, splitting the car in two. But luckily, he's okay. Coming up this weekend, the boys are Baku Town. F1 heads to Azerbaijan to race a tight technical street course with tons of straights. Look for a ton of overtaking and a ton of action. Moving on to NASCAR. Denny Hamlin wins the longest race in NASCAR history. The Coke 600 went on for 413 laps and didn't end until midnight Sunday night. Denny had a last lap pass on Kyle Busch to secure his second win of the season. I got to give a special shout out to Kyle Larson. This guy started in the rear due to a crash in practice. He spun out early in the stage of the race. He was penalized 3 separate times for pit lane violations. At one point, his car caught on fire. And with 2 laps to go, he was in the lead and he was going to win the damn race. Unfortunately for him, he got involved in a last lap crash, but he still finished in the top 10. But good on you, Kyle Larson. Then last week, the NASCAR Cup Series had their inaugural race at the Worldwide Tech Raceway outside of St. Louis, Missouri. Sorry, beer burp. Joe Logano took his second win of the season in front of a rowdy, sold-out St. Louis crowd. Kyle Busch, once again, took his second place finish and is surely getting frustrated with being so close yet so far. If turning left bores you, NASCAR heads to Wine Country this weekend to compete at the Sonoma, California Road Course. Tune in for that one. It's going to be entertaining. Moving on to Indy. The Indy 500 was everything I hoped for and more. Hard racing, big-time lead changes, and a first-time Indy 500 winner got to drink the milk and raise the Naked Flagger trophy. Former F1 driver Marcus Ericsson held off Pato O'Ward on a last-lap attempt to nab his first win in Indy and third overall in his career. Last week, Indy headed to Belle Isle in Detroit for their last Grand Prix over in Belle Isle. Next year, they'll be racing within the city limits on the streets of downtown Detroit, which is basically tied from Canada's backyard. The final 10 laps of this race was so exciting. Alexander Rossi was 10 seconds behind Will Power, closing in on him fast with fresh tires. With 10 laps to go, he managed to get within less than a second from him, and all he needed was maybe 1 or 2 more laps to pass him. Super exciting ending to that race. Indy heads to the land of the cheese and shitty football fans to race at Road America in Wisconsin. Honestly, the track is beautiful. I just fucking hate the Packers. Ho, ho, ho! Wait just 1 minute! Beer break. You thought we were all done with this segment? There is one more race you guys need to watch this weekend. It's the 24 Hours of Le Mans. One of the greatest, most legendary races of all time. 24 hours racing on a huge track, starting at 4 a.m. Ohio time, ending at 4 a.m. Ohio time on Sunday. I highly encourage you to go watch this. If for some reason you don't have the time for it, I highly encourage you to see Ford v. Ferrari instead. It's a movie about a 1960 Le Mans race. It's awesome. It's got a bunch of awesome actors in it. Check it out. Starting with the Le Mans race at 4 a.m. Ohio time, you'll have continuous racing all the way until the end of the NASCAR race on Sunday evening. If that doesn't make your muffler tickle a little bit, I don't know what will. And with that, that's all I've got. We'll see you all in Victory Lane. And remember to check your dipsticks. And as always, grit meets grease.
Dip shits, dip sticks. Dip shits and dipsticks. It's dip shits and dipsticks with Rick Fieldsman and Grease Tank. Dip shits and dipsticks. Sir Doinks.
Vroom vroom.
Auto Sports.
I'm sorry to bother you this late at night, but I just came over. I was hoping I could get lucky.
Okay, buddy, you handsome bitch. Let's wrap this motherfucker up. Outro. Weird episode. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far and you haven't died yet, if you are a squirrel, please DM me and I will come over there to throw fucking hands with you. Bill, I think we need to probably talk about your White Sox. Could you just want to get it out of the way? Tony La Russa, does he know how baseball works? Go.
So you asked me early in this season, when we were not talking about Everton only or dipsticks and dipshits. Shout out to Grease Tank, by the way, another fantastic segment. Your audio did sound much better. You were very nervous about that. You sounded great. You're allowed to drink at work a lot, huh, Grease Tank? That's awesome. I'm super jealous. You asked me about the White Sox. This was very early. I think this was like April. And I said, take my temperature in mid-June.
I did. Yep.
We're here. We're here. I'm not in denial, but I'm protecting myself because if I looked at the standings for the first time in like 40 days this week, and I'm like, okay, where are they actually? And I came to realize they're in third place in a horrible division. And they continue to slide further below 500. They have had a tough schedule, and apparently the schedule the rest of the way is the easiest in the majors. However, I feel like that would mean something if the White Sox were good. I don't think the White Sox are good. And I think a lot of that is the product of injury. Yes, sure, fine, whatever. That's part of it. I feel like they're the Cubs bats that you expect to be great, like from, you know, during like the Cubs window. That's what they remind me of right now. You keep waiting for those bats to wake up. They're not waking up. They have not woken up. And why would I expect that they would later in the season if they haven't yet? Pitching's been fine for the most part. Managing of the pitching is a major problem, and that's what you said, Tony La Russa. They played the Dodgers this afternoon. apparently La Russa, on a 1-2 count, decided to call for an intentional walk of Trey Turner, right?
Yep.
There was an open base at first, right? Guy at second. Next guy up hits a 3-run homer.
Yep.
And upon crossing home plate, says something to the effect of, like, you motherfucker walking a guy with two strikes, you dumb motherfucker, or something like that. That's
oh,
what
I didn't
Max
know that part.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. There was a camera angle, I don't know if I imagine it was maybe the LA feed that caught him. I think I just said Max Muncy. I don't know if that's
no, that's
the name,
right,
dude.
Yeah, you got it.
And then he looked back, he peered back at the White Sox dugout as he was saying, like, basically like, you dumb motherfucker. To La Russa, obviously. Have you ever seen a pitcher go up in the count 1-2 and then have an intentional walk? What?
I think Tony's trying to get fired at this point. I think that's the only That's the only explanation. I don't think ever in the history of baseball has there been. I mean, obviously, like, Barry Bonds has been intentionally walked like a million times. But you don't never. I don't think Barry Bonds ever been intentionally walked when he's had two strikes, right? I think that's, is that safe to say at any point when he had two strikes?
And even if he has, you could somehow justify it, maybe like if it's a playoff situation and it like maybe you could justify it, maybe. And I think it's still wrong move.
No.
But yeah. But it's also you're also talking about like Barry Bonds peak steroids. We're not talking about Trey Turner on June 9th or whatever the hell it is today.
Yeah.
Like yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't mean to even defend the decision in the hypothetical you're talking
right.
about. So back to you, Dan.
I think, yeah, it's the White Sox are like the 2017 to 2020 Cubs, where you know they have talent, it's all there, they just don't hit. Pitching, like the Cubs did the same thing. Like, oh, the pitching's not bad. And then you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting. You're like, okay, in the playoffs it will work. Like our pitching will carry us through. And then you just still don't hit. Like you're just like, oh, we're in the fifth inning. We don't have a hit. And it's like, okay, well, I think kind of the point of baseball is you can score runs. And that's – I talked to a couple Sox fans this weekend, and they're like, you know, we just got to make it to the playoffs and we'll be good. And I'm like, there is history of this team in the playoffs, and it's not great. It's not like you can just assume they're still a young team and this is their window, but they're not all young. Like they've done this before and it's in a trend that is not ideal. And the injuries, at what point is it not just bad luck with the injuries?
Right. Yeah.
I can't tell you what's wrong. Do they not stretch? Do they have terrible, I couldn't tell you like,
no, I know.
But at some point, it's not like just horrible luck. Like everyone's going down. There's got to be a common denominator somewhere. Are they eating like shit? Do they all have COVID? Like 1,000 times over? Like what is happening? Like why do they all get hurt? Tim Anderson's injury. It was against the Cubs, right? Was it the?
Yeah.
I was watching. Like that was just a freak thing, and he looked like he was in a lot of pain. This should be happening to every star on that team. Shouldn't be happening. And no. Tony La Russa's trash, and it makes me happy that Sox fans hate him, but I don't hate the Sox. I feel bad for you because this is just a wasted couple of years with Tony, and it's unnecessary.
Yep. That's the right word. It feels like such a wasted opportunity, and I can't imagine like being Rick Hahn where you built this team. And on paper, it's like, yeah, this team could be a competitor for 5 years. Let's just call it 5 years, whatever. And he did everything right, right? He made most of the right trades, most of the right signings with some exceptions. But and then you got your boss coming in and saying, okay, yeah, sure, you can fire the same dude that the Cubs fired during that same sort of thing, right? He was there for the rebuild, but now it's time to get to the World Series. I don't care who you want to hire. I'm hiring my old buddy because I made a mistake in my mind in the early 80s. And that is so unforgivable. And we've been saying it on this show for 2 years now. This isn't second guessing. We first guessed this. And it's like that dude didn't mesh with this roster from day one. But even beyond that, it's like the logic and my hope last year really was, okay, maybe this guy still has something on his fastball, so to speak, right? Maybe he could be a better manager than the other guy in the other dugout during the playoffs. No, he got completely outmanaged by Dusty Baker of all people last year, and he's worse this year, and he's stupid, and he justified the walk on 1 and 2. I saw just before we came on, he got real snippy with the reporter that asked him about it. He said, after he was asked about it, he said, let me ask you a question to the report. Like he had it teed up. His move. Power move. Like, how dare you question the great baseball brain that I have because I'm a Hall of Fame baseball man, right? As he's getting pulled over for 14 glasses of Sauvignon Blanc. this guy. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. And yeah. I think Rickon wants him out. Like, somebody asked him this week, is it an organizational edict, essentially, that the White Sox do not fire a manager during the season? And Han kind of it was great. Like, the way he answered it was perfect. It was sort of like, there's not a policy. I can't point to, like, a great example of it happening, but it's definitely not like, it doesn't come, come from the owner. He didn't say that, but I think the last guy was Gene Lamont that they fired kind of during the same sort of thing. Like, a team that made the playoffs a couple years in a row, couldn't get to the next level. Team's underachieving, then you fire their manager because you can't fire 25 players, so you got to do something, right? So,
yep.
I mean, I don't know. I'd be willing to try anything at this point if it's not Tony La Russa. Like, literally anything. That's a dangerous thing to say, I realize. But
yeah, that's the easiest move, right? To fire. Well, yeah. I guess you fire. I mean, you do the Cubs move and you just keep firing hitting coaches. and not actually come right. to terms that it's the players not hitting or it's starting at the top. Just keep firing hitting coaches until right. something right. sticks. I don't know what the answer is. It's obviously I'm a Cubs fan, so I'm not as heartbroken as you are. I feel bad for you. But I love seeing Tony go down in flames because that guy is just a fucking horrible person. So fuck yeah. him. And he's getting everything he deserves right now. Yeah, and he can't even stay out of the bullshit of having beef with the Giants coach protesting gun violence. It's like, okay, like, he's a fucking shitbag. And Mr. Don't Take a Knee during the national, like, Mr. Respect the National Anthem. Like, okay, like, if you have the, in his current spot, where I think he's had some conflict with his players and how he feels about the state of America and politics, and he just can't keep his fucking mouth shut even on that. Like, the guy's so high off his own ass that he's a distraction at this point, I'd say. Yeah. So just get rid of his ass.
Yeah, get rid of his ass. I don't even care if you just promote the idiots below him just because they're not Tony La Russa. I think that would be a plus.
Yep.
I don't know what the answer is, but it's definitely not Tony La Russa maintaining him. Yeah, hopefully if for whatever reason Reinsdorf just will refuse to fire him, so to, or allow Han to fire him, I guess would probably be more accurate. Hopefully La Russa at some point just says, you know what, I'm old. I don't want to travel anymore. I'm just going to fucking resign.
Yeah.
That's my hope. But I think
probably.
But I don't.
That's not going to happen.
It's not
this
a legitimate
year.
Hope. I don't think so. I don't think so.
You're just going to waste another entire year of nonsense. Yeah. I think, you know, the Sox may slide into the playoffs in the wild card spot and it'll be over quick. Like, it is what it is. I mean, a lot of Sox fans are like, oh, we have the hardest schedule in baseball. It's like, well, if you were a good team, you would be able to hang in there.
Yeah,
they're not doing that. So, yep. I've seen this is the Cubs script for post World Series win. This is exactly what happened to them, and I feel for you because it was a lot of years of spinning your wheels and telling yourself everything's okay, and it's not.
Yeah.
So
no, it's not. I mean, the hardest schedule thing. It's like, they have a shitty record against the AL Central. That is an embarrassing division. Why is that going to?
Yep.
What reasons are there to believe that'll change? I don't know. It's just, Jesus Christ. They should never have been below 500 unless it was like the first week of the season. And now we'll be halfway through the season before you know it. A lot of baseball left, but this team's not going to change, I don't think. I don't know. I'm sorry, Mark in Alabama. I don't know if you want a more optimistic take, but it's Bill Doinks over here is I'm sad. It's all right.
Low.
Bring on football, baby. I'm ready for football.
Well, Bill, let's shift from the White Sox. Let's go to something more positive. You are probably in my top five of best dads of all time. We were almost to Father's Day. Hmm. What are your plans? What do you got cooking? Is the family taking you to Putt Jack?
I hope so. I think on the day itself, I'll be spending some time with Phil Sr. My guess is if the weather's good, we'll probably be shirtless by a pool. Sorry, ladies. Sorry about these boobs. There's no milk coming out of them. I know there's a formula shortage, but I can't help you there. I think on the day before, that's where it's going to be up to the kids, which is very dangerous because they're 10 and 6. So what they think I like and what I like are probably vastly different. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out. Although, if they said Putt Shack, I couldn't be more in after that experience. Maybe Dicka's for a nice yeah. Moscow Mule. I don't know. Do you know what's on your docket, Dan?
I do, actually. It's pretty awesome. Some of the local ladies, some of the mothers in the neighborhood have organized yes. a dad's weekend out of town. Just the dads.
Oh,
which makes
what?
Me think something's up. It's like they just want to get rid of us.
Yep.
So myself and a handful of dads are going to Lake Geneva for the weekend.
Wow.
It's pretty red hot. Yeah. Kudos. Shout out to Jordan for helping organize that. A little worried. I don't know many details. That they're probably like, eh, just get a hotel while you're up there. It's like, oh, you didn't actually plan this out? Like, now I gotta sleep in my car. Yeah, so that's good. Little golf, boating. A couple of guys have boats up there, so my boobs will also be out. And these puppies do produce milk. So, ladies, come on board if you need some milk for your children. Mm-hmm. That sounds creepy. Mm-hmm. No, nope. Don't do that. Only thing coming out of my boobs that weekend is going to be Natter Days. That's it.
Ooh.
So, well, yeah.
That sounds good. It sounds incredible, Dan. That sounds incredible. I just want to call this out. I don't know if you see it on your end, Dan. This is one last gift from Squadcast that is giving you your internet a 0 out of 5.
Zero.
Or no, 1 out of 5.
I'm starting to believe that they're just now like getting back at me because I keep giving them a 1-star rating. They always ask, like, how was the quality every time? And I've never given them a rating until tonight, and it's trash. And oh, I'm at a 2 now. I'm at a 2 out of 5. It's been bouncing back and forth. You can hear me all right, though, right? Like, literally nothing's changed as far as I can tell. And it's – you can go to hell, Squadcast. You can go to hell. I hope you have a terrible Father's Day.
Do you think – well, they'll be off for sure. They're definitely not working. Do you think it has anything to do with the squirrel brothel above your head? Do you think that affects the interwebs?
It can't help. I would say that just squirrel nuts is a real hindrance on Wi-Fi signal, I guess. It can't help. With this lighting, too, I got a real shiny dome tonight as well. That's got to be difficult to look at. I'm sorry. I know you can't see it if you're listening, but.
Yeah. I can't really see it because of the 2 out of 5. So you look great. As far as I can tell, you're very pixelated. You kind of look like Mona Lisa from what I could tell. Ooh. If I were to guess.
She have boobs, like good sized boobs. Mona Lisa, speaking of milk.
I think isn't she wearing something that kind of looks like a Supreme Court justice, like that sort of thing. So I don't know. That's just where my that's just top of my head. That's what I'm picturing. I feel like Dan's doing a little research right now.
Yeah, no, she's got. Well, I guess she wearing a cape.
Oh, there it is.
I don't know.
Okay,
is that is she wearing a cape?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think that's a cape.
What's the big deal? What are we? Why are people excited about this?
Great question. I've wondered it my entire life. I mean, I don't think she's great to look at, right? That can't be it.
No.
For some reason, there's quite the landscape behind her, right? There's some water and hills and.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, Bob Ross has done better.
Oh, totally agree.
You don't see him tooting his own fucking horn. I mean, he's dead, but.
Yeah. He had an episode where he had a squirrel. Do you remember
that?
Yeah,
he was a big squirrel guy. Yeah, good call. Yeah. Good. I think he had them as, pets, right?
I think so. Yeah. Do you think, Dan, that he'd.
In his.
After. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it doesn't need to be said. You were on the same page, yeah.
Yep.
There was funny business. There was he was getting squirrely with them.
Oh, big time. A lot of droopy nuts in that bedroom.
Speed bag. Those squirrels are going on. I'm like,
poof, 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 poof. Rest in peace, Bob. We love you. We love you dearly. Sorry that your estate didn't do you right upon your death. I don't know if you saw that on Netflix. That was depressing.
Oh, I haven't. I know the story, though. That's insane.
Not great.
He didn't even own his own name for a while. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, less than ideal. Less than ideal.
I would do it, though, just for the record. I would do it. If someone was like, we want to buy the rights to Dan Spaghetti and Meatballs, I would 100% do that. I would sell out so quickly for like 50K.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you deposit it right into DraftKings?
Yeah. Lose it immediately. What am I doing? I'm not painting pictures. Nobody wants Dan Spaghetti and Meatballs gear, trinkets, tchotchkes.
Would you? Yeah, a lot of tchotchkes. Would you, on that same vein, would you, if the Saudis came to you tonight and said, Dan, I've seen your golf swing. I believe you took your shirt off during a match, if you will, with Davy No Behavey. And maybe I may have some of the principles confused here. But anyway, if they said, we are going to offer you $500,000 to leave the PGA Tour, would you do it knowing where that money's coming from?
I'd probably need to talk to Brother Dave first because he has the best grasp of what the line is for supporting the Saudis and how they murder people. Yeah, I'd do it. Probably. What do you make of this live tour? Do you care?
No, I honestly didn't really know it was a thing until Phil started getting in trouble for everything, and then all of a sudden it crossed my desk. I mean, Phil would do anything for money. He's apparently in a lot of trouble with the casinos
always.
And whatnot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, IRS, you name it. So that makes a ton of sense. For a guy like Dustin Johnson or guys like that, seems kind of weird. But I don't know. I mean, I saw a graphic on ESPN last night that the purse for winning a tournament is way higher than the PGA. And the competition's way worse. So I don't know. Maybe it's a short term. It's a cash grab. Let's make it happen now. Maybe this whole thing, blows up in a couple of years and the PGA will take us back. So I don't know. And if you're the PGA, would you say no to them in a couple of years? I don't know.
I kind of love it that the old white guys in the PGA are upset about this. Dustin Johnson got $150 million just straight up, right? I think he got a shitload of money just to jump. And the purse is huge. Just to play fucking golf? I thought originally when this thing started with Greg Norman, he seemed to be the guy pushing it. For some reason, I thought they were asking these guys to move to Saudi Arabia. Mm. I thought the tournaments were happening there. And I was like, okay, that might be a bit much. But there was a tournament in Maryland that's going on right now.
Oh, really? Oh.
They're in America.
Oh.
Like, maybe in, like, over, like, in England or something. Like, so it's just normal tournaments.
I had it all wrong. I was picturing them like in Qatar the whole time, just like wandering the streets.
No, no. They're like normal tournaments.
Huh.
And yeah, I guess at some point the PGA is probably going to be like, yeah, just do whatever. Like just pop in whenever you want if they get enough guys. And I thought, I was like, how the hell are these, is this league like paying? Because they paid like, who else just jumped? I think Phil got over $200 million to jump to this league. But I looked it up, this Saudi with asset, whatever they call themselves. Their assets are like $600 billion. Holy shit. They are that's $200 million is like, oh, just here's a wad of cash. And that made me think, is like the Broncos just got purchased for $4.5 billion. Are they just going to buy an NFL team next? Like, I'm sure those old white guys in that league won't let that happen. But, God, that would be such an easy grab for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like all the, like you said, Brother Dave, with the Newcastle purchase. I just find it funny seeing these guys have to answer questions about human rights at these press conferences. It's like they don't. Do you think they really are paying any attention to that at all? No, they just got a great offer from their agent, and like you said, yeah, if you're Dustin Johnson, it's $150 million. It's like,
what do you care?
Why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah. Well, and I think like only like Phil got himself into hot water because I think someone asked him, you know, months ago, and he was kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, it's not a big deal, right? Like, they just murdered a couple guys. Like,
yeah.
Just guys being dudes, right? Like, I think that was kind of the gist of his response.
Right.
And so I think now everyone's like, oh, I don't know shit about shit, right? So
yeah, yeah. Play it dumb, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, and the PGA can only keep him out of the PGA, like in terms of the majors, right? It's the only one they control,
right.
I think. The guys can probably play in the other three, I think.
Yeah.
Is that true,
I think if you,
or is that to be determined?
No, I think that's right. I think even if you have, like, an exemption, which I don't even completely understand, like, if you won the Masters, you can, like, always play in the Masters, and I don't think that's changed. So, oh, no, these guys can't play in the John Deere Classic in the Quad Cities. Oh, that's fucking heartbreaking. I'm sure Dustin Johnson is so sad he doesn't have to stay at the Motel 8 in fucking Davenport. Like, who cares?
No offense, Tim. We love
him. Oh, sorry. Does he live at Davenport?
No.
No. All right. Just Iowa in general. I'll do the Illinois side. Oh, he can't stay in the Holiday Inn and Rock Island? I mean... We could do the Illinois side, Tim, just for you.
Yeah, it's probably a. There's nothing else to talk about this time of year, right? I think that's a big part of it.
Nope. Yeah, we need football to start real soon.
Real soon. And we talked a lot of football tonight. Thank you for joining us from all across the world, this globe. If there's any live. League sponsors, we're willing to talk as long as
we're interested.
We don't have to answer questions about 9/11 and journalists and all that stuff. So,
nope. And I also want to put it on the record that we are not journalists.
Yeah,
we're just a couple of dudes. So,
yeah.
No, nothing. No murdering, please, and thank you.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly. Leave us alone. Please. Happy Father's Day, everybody, on that note. Dan, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you, Grease Tank, for your contributions tonight. As always, hopefully Rick Fieldsman's doing well. Dan, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Coach Cuse's basement soon with Rick Fieldsman and Tony Doinks and others as we refresh our catalog.
Interested. Very interested. Yes. Hopefully Rick is still alive. Rest in peace, Phil.
Yep.
Hope you're playing catch with Mitch in heaven. Mitch isn't dead. I don't know why I said that. Thank you for listening, everyone. This is another weird one.
Yeah.
Put it on the board. Hawk Harrison.
Yes. See you next time, whenever that will be. Zero dogs.
Bye. Bye, everybody.
Embracing a wife that will be willing every Thursday night to cook you lasagna.
Well, this fishing session.
No way. Look, oh my look God. Who's...
Hi guys, why is love so loud?
Hello, Becky.
How you doing?
Becky, we're so happy right now. You have no idea.
Why?
Because you are a legend, like you are. We want you on our team after yesterday's chat.
Becky from Nigeria, are you?
Eating lasagna for 13 straight weeks.